Hello and good morning on your side of the world.
I'm pretty good, thank you, Harold. How are you?
Doing fantastic. We're sitting out here, and modern day technology is the greatest thing because I can be at a beautiful lake like I am, enjoying an 80-degree summer-like day.
Oh my God, that's so awesome. Good for you, good for you.
So, well, good for you when it comes to this song, Message in a Bottle. I mean, you have stepped through a mountain with this song, and you take listeners someplace with this.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Yeah, it felt like, you know, climbing a mountain a little bit, just because it's such a huge hit. You know, you don't really like want to mess with it. You know, it's like, how can I say it? You know, it's like when you have like such a hit, you don't really want to try to do the same thing that they did,
right?
Because they already did it so good. So you just kind of want to get around it and try to make it a little more personal.
Yeah, the natural reaction that I had with it was, you know, you're going, oh, wow, I do know this song. But then I never thought of Sting after that moment. I was drawn into what you were doing into it. And so it's such a perfect fit.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Now, it comes to me in a way that it's like, what kind of messages are we putting in bottles here in 2020? Because it almost has kind of a vibe about it. It's like, guys, we should be writing things down for someone to find later on.
Absolutely. Actually, the reason why we picked Discover is because Josh and I were actually sitting at the table. And, you know, we were listening to actually Synchronicity and Murder by Numbers, which is a song that I absolutely love. And we were like, oh, my God, Police just sounds so good, you know. And we were like, why don't we do a cover? And you know, Message in a Bottle just dawned on us. Like, it's such an appropriate song for this time that we're living through, you know, just a castaway and lost at sea. I mean, this is pretty much how we've all been feeling, I guess, since the quarantine has started, you know, a little bit like castaways. And we're trying to reach out to our loved ones and send, like, positive messages of, you know, love and solidarity. So I thought, you know, no better song right now to put out. And, you know, it's so cool when, you know, that when you have a hit song, when you have, like, these songs that the lyrics still resonate with you, mm-hmm. like, you know, 40 years later, 30 years later. It's like, you know, it's incredible that we're able to do that.
Well, I love the way that you guys work together with the orchestration, as with the vocals as well, in the way that's a difficult song to play, and then you fit right in there with those vocals. How long did it take for you guys to blend that together as perfectly as you did?
Actually, not long. You know, it was Josh's idea, Josh Ethigan was my producer, and my husband as well. You know, he had the idea of, like, you know, putting the harmonies together. And actually, you know, as I told you, we were trying to do something different with the song. We didn't want to have, like, a perfect replica of what the song already was. And I was actually trying to create, like, a bossa nova intro for the song. Then eventually I decided not to go forward with that idea. But we really liked the voicings that were coming out. So that's how Josh thought about, you know, having like vocal harmonies in the beginning, and then we decided to do a modulation. So, and then we stepped it up. And, you know, sometimes when you're at the studio and you're just in a very creative space of mind, everything just feels like it's coming out easy. I don't know if that makes any sense. We actually added some more guitars. I actually added extra guitars at the end of the song because we were in the mixing process and we felt like we really wanted the song to give you like a kick at the end. So we went back, even after like mixing, we went back to it and we added some more guitars, and that was absolutely like a great idea, I think.
Well, the vibe on this side of the speakers is that, I mean, I love the way that you begin it with where it's so emotional and then it kicks in. And then, like you said, the end with the guitars and everything, it's almost like a beginning, middle, and continuation. And so, like, if you layer this on with, if you're putting together an album and stuff, you're going to send me right into that next song, which is a perfect fit.
That's nice. I'm glad to hear that. You know what? When you're doing a song, you know, you try to deliver a message, you try to deliver an emotion, but then it's nice when you actually get the feedback that you did it. It's not that easy sometimes.
Keeping music moving forward in the way that where we presently stand with the entertainment industry, where everything is shut down. How have you kept yourself from shutting down?
That's a good question. You know, just staying like, not positive, because, you know, sometimes we all have our ups and downs, I guess, but most of all, staying creative. And I have to say, I've been working on myself a lot, which means, you know, dedicating myself to things that I didn't have time to dedicate myself to, like reading, You know, doing a lot of sport, you know, spending time with my loved ones, and, you know, absolutely improving my, you know, musicianship and things like that. So, you know, when you put the focus on yourself and
right.
you see, like, yourself improving, it's hard to, like, you know, it's hard to feeling down at that point. You just kind of charge with, you know, you're just charged with positivity at that point.
Don't you also see this as a growing period as well? Because I would love to see what you were writing before the COVID and then now what you're writing and the style itself that it's evolved into.
Yeah. Actually, you know, I've also been listening to way more music,
oh,
if that makes any sense.
Yes,
we've
it
had
does.
Time to obviously do that because we haven't been at the studio as much. And, you know, I got to listen to Rush a lot and, you know, a little bit of Alice in Chains. And, I mean, of course, unfortunately, Van Halen, you know,
yeah,
after Eddie passed away, that was a tragedy. So, you know, all these little things, whether one wants it or not, they just become part of you. You know, the more you listen, especially if you have a sensitive ear, the more these things, like, become part of your vocabulary. So, you know, maybe, like, right at the moment, we already have a bunch of songs that we're going to put out. But, you know, definitely these are all things that are going to come out in my songwriting eventually.
Don't you love the way, though, that as a musician and as that songwriter and things like that, that you're able to hear a piece of music, for instance, like from Rush, and you're able to break it down, break it down, break it down. You just endlessly just break, and you're always finding little Easter eggs somewhere in there. They're going, oh, my God, they actually put that in there.
Yeah, I love that part. Actually, I'm very analytic when I'm listening to music, and sometimes even if I'm in the car with Josh, I would just put, like, my headphones on because, like, I really just like to isolate myself, and I will focus on one part or another part, and, you know, mostly it's guitar parts because I'm a guitar player, so that makes sense for me. And, you know, I just literally listen because that's my first source of learning. So, you know, I just listen and I try to picture what the guitar player is actually doing. How is he doing it? What effects are on the track? So it's like it's a never-ending lesson listening to music. It's really great. And, yeah, there's always, like, that surprise factor that, you know, sometimes maybe if you listen to the car versus if you listen in your headphones or whatever, you can hear the mix slightly changes. And so you start picking up on different frequencies or, you know, like different colors here and there. And so every time that you listen to the tune, it's like a new painting. You go
yep.
like, oh, my God, this thing, there's that thing. So, yeah, that's exciting about it.
Oh, my God, because I can sit there and you break it down to the point where you've got your bass beat going with your drums and you sit there and you just, oh, my God, it just takes you to a brand new place of thinking. So and plus it also helps you appreciate music more when you can, you know, I always call it reaching beyond sound.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree with you. Great question. Loved answering that.
So now doesn't this also set you up in the way for millennials as well as Generation Z that it's like they've passed the baton? Because you talked about Eddie Van Halen and stuff like that. But in his own way and shape, I know that he's probably looking down going, okay, it's your turn now. I open the door, walk through, go make your own music.
I hope so, you know, and that's what I hope to, you know, that's what I hope to deliver to, you know, younger generations as well, because unfortunately, you know, my generation is exposed to way more, if that makes any sense, like
right.
Electronic music, you know, like there's a little less presence of real instrument, which means that you kind of got to get a little extra inspired and really hold on to, you know, the greatest, you know, like from the 70s and 80s and so on, so... yeah, absolutely. And I would like to be myself eventually, you know, like the fact that I was able to move from Italy to the United States, you know, and live like the career of my dreams. But it takes also a lot of work. So it's important for me to, you know, deliver to people this message of staying inspired at all times, because if you love it, you got to go and get it. You can't let it slip away.
One of the things that I've been really super worried about, because I know there's been a lot of people that are just sending tracks to each other and then they mix it down in somebody's homemade studio. But it scares me because I thought music was a collaboration of everybody in the same space, the same atmosphere. And so when you were talking about the electronic music, it was like, wow, you know, in all reality, if you're not sharing a studio together, it's electronic music, is it not?
Well, no. Well, my first track, "Bleed for Love," my first single that came out, we actually worked with Mark Slaughter, and that was all done, you know, like by sending tracks like via email, you know, within the Pro Tools session, because Mark actually has a studio in Nashville.
Yep.
So, you know, there's actually the possibility of, you know, like doing like very organic music, like even though, you know, from a long distance. I just think that, like, it's all about, you know, putting the passion in it and, you know, just moving forward with it, you know. Nowadays, it's actually become pretty easy to record tracks and, you know, just be able to send them out. So it's an advantage for a lot of musicians that don't have the luxury of, you know, being in the same room.
It's really interesting where music is. And like you were talking about, you were working with Mark Slaughter. The way that the legends of sound are giving other people that, you know, that push upward. And people like Mark Slaughter just opens up the door.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the whole process is so inspiring. We also work with bass player Jesse Vasquez. He's like being surrounded by so many great musicians, obviously, you know, you take a lot from them. It's exactly as listening to music, as we were talking earlier, you know. You get to know their playing, you get to know their style and, you know, their ideas and how they hear music and the melodies. And it's just like a never-ending lesson there, too. It's just so exciting. And it's nice because eventually, you know, musicians start stimulating each other. So it's like it becomes like a whole creative process for everybody, you know?
Yeah, because it's one big super band. I mean, there for the longest time, this member couldn't play with this band because the contract said you couldn't. You had to be exclusive here, blah, 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 blah. But that's what I love about where music is now, is that it seems like everybody's getting along.
Exactly. And I think that's one of the positive results of, you know, like not just coronavirus, but the fact that, you know, it's easier now to upload your own tracks without having to go necessarily through a record label and stuff like that. Even though, you know, Josh has his own record label, which is called Coparon Records, and we're actually working with a lot of artists right now. So, yeah, it's nice to see, you know, like finally this freedom within musicians that they're like, oh, I'm just going to do what I enjoy to do. It's like that part of their life when they're just going like, okay, now I'm going to do my music, you know.
I heard a term, a musical term today that I know that we'll probably everybody's going to pick up on it. They call it Quora streaming. Where everybody is, they're streaming their music with fans and followers and stuff. But instead of just calling it, yeah, we're going to stream it. No, we're going to Quora stream the stuff. Are you doing that with your music to where people can watch you?
No, not yet, but we're definitely planning on doing that. We're just getting all the platform together, you know, and like several artists, because Coparon Records' goal would be to have just like, you know, several artists going on and like have a live stream of a group of artists.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. All right, so you said you're gonna jump into some Rush music and all that kind of stuff. You know, I expect to hear that now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A little bit of prog rock here and there, right?
Yeah. How about that? Or how about even the group Yes? Can you imagine you doing a song that Yes did?
Oh, you know, it's so hard because, once again, Josh and I listen to, like, a lot of music, and all the time, like, we listen to this great song, and we turn around, and we go like, oh, we should do a cover of this. We should have a cover of that. It's just so hard, you know? So we're so extra stimulated right now, super creative. So, yeah, why not? Totally planning on that. We were actually listening to Bad Company yesterday, you know, Holy Water, and we were just like, we might do a cover of this one.
That's what music is. It's the beginning, the middle, and the continuation, and that's the part of it, man.
Yeah.
I love it. So where can people go to find out more about Message in a Bottle and everything else that you have brought forward? Because you've got so much going on right now.
Yeah, we do, and we're actually about to release a new single, too, which is called Dancing Through the Darkness, and we're about to record a video, shoot the video just, like, within the next few days. So everybody can go on my website, which is www.georgiavanni.com, and George is spelled G-I-O-R-G-I-A, so not quite like the state, and as well as my Facebook page, and then you can go clearly on Spotify and iTunes, Amazon.com for a purchase and download of the song, and yeah, please just go there.
So tell me about the new song. I mean, tell me about the inspiration behind it and how it came together.
Yeah, so the new song actually involves Mark Slaughter as well. So we have
really?
Mark Slaughter on guitars. Yes.
That's awesome.
And, it's a very nice, I guess like a punk rock song, if you want to call it that way. And, you know, it has some very nice movement and, you know, I really push my vocals. So there's a lot of grit and a lot of rock stuff in there. And it's a cool song, you know, we wanted to, like, do something a little different, you know, like, talk about a version of love that, you know, is not that much talked about, you know, when it's, like, somebody develops a little bit of an obsession towards somebody, you know, it's, like, not as romantic, it's, like, just, like, a stupid crush type of thing, you know, so it's called Dancing Through the Darkness, because essentially it's this person that is is watching this guy living his life on the edge. And she loves that about him, but she doesn't really know the person. So
oh, wow.
She's pretty much, yeah, she's pretty much, how could you say that? She's building an image of him according to how she feels about him, which is actually really common. You know, we all do that. When we get to meet somebody, we tend to represent our expectations of them on them, if that makes any sense.
Yep, it sure does.
So, yeah, it's a little darker song, if that makes any sense. I think it's cool. It's not like a heavy, dark song. It's like a lighthearted, darker song.
Well, I love the storytelling aspect of it all, because, I mean, through all of this, we're all becoming better storytellers, and look at what you're doing with your music.
Yeah. Hopefully, you know, we're always growing, which is, you know, part of the process, and it's also exciting, you know, to look back at, you know, all the things that we wrote and all the things that we worked on. I know some of the things that we wrote and we put aside, maybe now we go back on them and just improve them. You know, it's a cool process. It's always like about reinventing yourself and be honest about who you are, you know, because at all stages of life, we need a different us to, you know, carry on with our lives. So we have different version of ourselves that we gotta play it like a card sometimes according to the situation.
Well, I love where your heart is. You got to come back to this show anytime in the future. The door is always going to be open for you.
Thank you so much, Ira. I really, really appreciate it.
You bet. You be brilliant this week, okay?
Okay, thank you. You too.